So that video reminds us that the church is God's way of reaching out to people. And as it says, it's so easy for us to ask God to do something, to say to God, you know, why don't you do something? But God has already done something. He sent Jesus to die for our sins, to bridge that gap between us and God. And he's created us, his people, to be the body of Christ in the world. We're the ones that he's calling us to do something. At the local DIY shop in Thurnscoe, there used to be a sign hung above the till. I've put the words on the next slide. It said, anyone, there was an important job to be done. Everyone was sure that someone would do it. Anyone could have done it, but no one did it. And someone got angry about that because he thought it was everyone's job. Everyone thought that anyone could do it, but no one realised that everyone wouldn't do it. It ended up that everyone was angry with someone because no one did what anyone could have done. Yeah? And so often we can be like that too. We know that there are jobs to be done in the church and in the world, but we hope somebody else will do them. Or perhaps we just feel that there's so much need in the world that we're paralysed by the needs that we see all around us. And we feel, well, we can't do everything, and so we end up doing nothing because it's so hard to feel that we can do anything of value. The next slide, you know, just gives us, just leave it. Yeah, there's all this stuff happening in the world, violence, you know, euthanasia, what can I do about that issue? Abortion, you know, I can't do anything about that. All these issues that come to us, you know, we look at them and we can just feel overwhelmed. You know, what do we do about all these things? And, you know, listening to the news and reading the newspapers and, you know, all of that, it's like an exercise in discouragement, isn't it, really? And we can be like the song says, angels of apathy, who tell ourselves it's all right, somebody else will do something. And it's easier to live like that than to wrestle with God over what he wants us to do. It's easier to focus on ourselves and look after ourselves and become cozy Christians that are comfortable and complacent than it is to rise to that challenge to do something. But God says we are his body. We are his hands and his feet. And we're the way that he's chosen to reveal himself to the world now that Jesus has ascended into heaven. The next slide reminds us of, you know, the fact that in Matthew 5, 13 to 16, he talks about us being salt and light. He says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. We're called to be salt and light, to flavour our society, to influence other people for good, to shine God's light into the darkness, confident that the darkness will not overcome his light. We're called to continue the work that Jesus did while on earth. When John the Baptist sent his followers to ask if Jesus really was the Messiah, Jesus' response was, go back and report to John what you've seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is proclaimed to the poor. And that's our mandate too. Because Jesus said in Luke chapter 9, verses 1 to 2, when Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases, and he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Jesus clearly expected his followers to do something. But so often, you know, we feel inadequate and helpless, don't we? You know, healing the sick, driving out demons seems beyond us. We feel that we can't do those miraculous things. But Jesus said, this is a verse that Gary brought a few months ago and we keep coming back to it, John 14, verse 12, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing, and they will do even greater things than these because I'm going to the Father. You know, we can't just give up and feel overwhelmed by the task that God has given us. Now, we're not called to do everything. When we listen to songs like this, and when we think of all the different ways that there are to serve God, we can feel torn. You know, there are so many different ways to serve God that it's impossible to list them all. The video gave us some examples: feeding pizza to the hungry, looking into fostering or adoption to help children, teaching in schools, working as an advocate, supporting clean water projects in Africa. Yeah, they were some of the things that the people in the video were doing. But it also talked about things in very general terms as well: praying and preaching the gospel and helping other people and serving and volunteering and comforting. There literally is so much to do that in itself becomes overwhelming. And because we can't do everything, we stop there. How do we know what to do? What's the something that God wants us to get involved in? So our first question, I think, as the next slide says, is what's the something that you want me to do? And his answers, I think, can surprise us. Sometimes he will speak very specifically, you know, on particular things. But I think that a general answer that we find in God's word is in Colossians 3, verse 17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. So no matter what you do, how you choose to serve God, how you decide to do something, do what you do in the name of the Lord Jesus. Give him the glory. Yeah? Allow him to be the motivation and the reason for your actions. Don't do things grudgingly or because you think that you've got to. Yeah? God loves us regardless of what we do. Our service for God isn't what gets us into a relationship with God. We're saved by grace through faith, not because of how many church activities we do. You know, it's very easy when we have services like this and we talk about doing things to feel condemned, to feel shamed into service, to feel guilty. But I don't think God wants us to, you know, feel that at all. He wants us to serve him from that position of being loved, knowing God's unconditional, unfailing love. We're not serving God in any way to earn his favour or love. Whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do it thankfully because you're glad that you're God's child and that you're part of his body. Don't do it to please somebody else, to look good in the eyes of the world, or to earn God's congratulations. He already loves you more than you can ever imagine, just as a parent loves their child simply for who they are, not for what they do. And it's very easy sometimes for us not to do things because we've got strange ideas about what's important to God. We think perhaps it's all about praying and preaching and doing things that are very obviously spiritual. But doing something isn't necessarily about those things. Big things tend to start in small, insignificant ways anyway. One of the ordinary ways that Jesus talked about serving was through a cup of cold water. Yeah? He said in Matthew 10:42, if anyone gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones who is my disciple, truly I tell you, that person will certainly not lose their reward. Now, giving a cup of cold water, that doesn't seem a particularly big deal, but it gets a mention. It's obviously something rather than nothing. And we need people who are willing to do things that might not seem glamorous or exciting or spiritual, but are needful. In our church, there are opportunities for people to do something in all kinds of ways. We need people to make cups of tea and coffee at the coffee morning after church services. We need people to help at the youth club on Monday nights, particularly as Mark and Diane are leaving at the end of the year. We need people to help at the parent and toddler group on Friday mornings. You know, it's easy to think, oh, well, I'm not qualified to do that. I don't know what to do. But if God wants you to do that, he'll make it plain to you. We need people who will help with cleaning the church building and help with building maintenance, help with leading meetings and preaching, helping with teaching the children at Sunday school. We're very grateful to JP and Herlin, who've said that they want to be involved with that when Mark's gone. So there are lots of things that people can do. And, you know, there are many more things, I'm sure, that as a church we can get involved in. But we need people to do something. Stacey, could you just pass me the drink, please? Excuse me. You know, it's very easy for us to say to God, you know, why don't you do something about poverty? Why don't you do something about loneliness? But God may say, as we speak to him about these things, why don't you do something about it? Today, we've asked people to bring food for the Salvation Army Food Bank, for their Christmas hamper and their winter warmer appeals. And again, it's not really hard, is it, to get an extra tin of food or something when you're doing your shopping, but it can make a difference. I'm sure you've all heard the story of the starfish. That's our next slide, yeah? A story that about a young girl or a young boy walking along a beach, thousands of starfish had been washed up during a storm, and the boy's throwing the starfish back one by one. And this man says, well, what are you doing? And he says, well, I'm throwing starfish back into the ocean. If I don't throw them back, they'll die. And the man says, but there's miles and miles of beach and hundreds of starfish. You can't make a difference. And the boy bent down, picked up another starfish, threw it back into the surf and said, well, I made a difference for that one. Yeah? The truth is, we can't do everything, but we can all do something. And the some things that we do make a huge difference to individuals and make a huge difference to our communities. Let's ask God, you know, to show us our starfish. What's the thing that he wants us to do? How does he want us to help people? It might be something that we do as an individual, something unseen, something that you might not talk about to other people. You just get on with it and do it. It could be supporting a particular charity or organising a sponsored walk to raise money for a cause that's dear to your heart. It could be just phoning somebody up that you know is lonely. It could be sending some flowers to a friend. It could be volunteering to help in a group or giving your time to do something, you know, that you want to be involved with. Or it could be something that perhaps burns in your heart and you want other people to be involved in it as well. You know, our involvement in the support of the Salvation Army Food Bank started because Mark McEwen had a vision of boxes of food and blankets being given to help those in need. You know, sometimes we need an individual to say, well, what about this? And, you know, we can get involved with that. I don't know what God's got planned for each one of us, but I do think that he wants each one of us to do something. As a church, you know, we need to be involved here in Goldthorpe, here in the Dearne Valley, further afield too, maybe. Our support of Bedlin and Amshika and Innocent in Haiti and India and Uganda is one way that we're trying to outwork our need to do something. We can't save every child, just as they can't save every starfish, but our support can make a difference to some children. Over the coming year, perhaps we want to look at ways that we can connect with other local charities and missionary societies so we can keep our gaze outwards, so we can find out more about what God is doing through ordinary people in different areas. Because the church isn't here just to feel good, to be blessed. We're here to serve God. It's good that we're built up in faith and we learn more about the Bible and we seek God in prayer. But as we said last time when we were talking about bodybuilding, the purpose of God giving us gifts is to equip us for works of service. And so from the youngest to the oldest, we need to think about the ways that we can serve God and understand that service is about doing something in the name of the Lord, doing it thankfully. So we can't all do everything, but we can all do something, and it can be something relatively small. I think as well, you know, perhaps when people are first saved, they're unsure of how they can serve God. They're not sure perhaps even of their gifts and talents. And when we're talking about this whole topic of what can we do, I think the first thing is, I would ask is, well, where's your passion? Yeah, I think that's on the next slide. What's your passion? What are you actually interested in? Because often the passions and the interests of our heart are God-given, and we can serve him through these things. You know, God isn't a killjoy that always makes us do things that we'd rather not do. You know, Psalm 37 verse 4 says, take delight in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. I think God often puts interests and passions into our hearts so that we can serve him through those things. Yes, you know, we need the fire of God. The song said, I'm sick and tired of life with no desire. I don't want to flame, I want a fire. Now, ministry and service need perseverance and stickability. And you know, if you're not really fired up about something, it's very easy to just pack in when it gets hard. So think about the things that you are interested in and ask God to give you opportunities to serve him in those areas. And secondly, perhaps a little bit more mundane, have a go at something. Yeah, don't wait for some great revelation justifying your inaction because you're waiting for a word from the Lord. Adrian Plass has written a book called The Sacred Diary of Adrian Plass, aged 37 and three quarters. It's quite a funny book, but it talks about some of the sort of strange things and strange ideas that we can have. And in it, his church had organised a carol singing evening. They're going to go out and sing carols around their community. He doesn't really want to do that. Yeah, he'd rather stay at home and watch a James Bond film that's on that same night. But he doesn't want to seem unspiritual. So he decides he's going to put a fleece out, very spiritual thing, you know, a fleece like Gideon, to see if carol singing is what God really wants him to do. His fleece, however, revealed his heart, because this is what he said to God. If a midget in a Japanese admiral's uniform comes to the door at 9:04 precisely, I would know that God wanted me to sing carols. Well, that's really not how we should expect God to work. He'd stacked the cards, so to speak, hadn't he, with his fleece. Yeah? And at 9:05, when, funnily enough, no Japanese midget, you know, dressed in an admiral's uniform came, he could sort of say, ah, that's the miracle, I don't have to go carol singing. And we can laugh at that, obviously, we're meant to laugh at it. But we can be often like that too. The most difficult, honest prayer that we ever pray is not my will, but your will be done. Because it's only as we pray that we can be open to hearing God's voice. And so often we say we're waiting for God to speak to us before we do something. But we need to be open to doing something if we're actually going to hear God's voice. Ecclesiastes 9 verse 10 says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. And sometimes we just have to say, okay, God, I will do something. I'll no longer sit around doing nothing. I'll start where I am. And I'll do the little that I can. And, you know, the proverb says the devil finds work for idle hands. And that's true in many ways. As we learn to value doing ordinary things, making that cup of tea after a church service, we find that God really wants us to do what we can do, not what we can't. Now, sometimes he does call us out of our comfort zone to do things that we don't feel equipped to do, but really, it all starts with a heart that's surrendered to him. And then he can whisper to us the things that are on his heart. And he can move us to do the things that he cares about. And that ultimately is what's really important, I think. What is on God's heart? And these are some of the things that I think are on God's heart. So God cares for the individual. Our some things need to show that. You know, he so loved the world that he sent his one and only son, Jesus. But that salvation is appropriated by each one of us individually. And God knows us and cares for us individually. Even the very hairs on your head are numbered. And Christians have always been at the forefront of campaigns that remind society of the worth and value of each individual. Whether that's the unborn child, or the disabled that nobody wants to acknowledge, or the elderly whose life seems costly to maintain and of little worth to society, so they say. We must never forget the worth of the individual. And we should be seeking to do things that emphasise this and that help individuals. That's one of the chief ways that we can do that, do something. We can support charities, we can support local groups and church groups that minister to individuals. We can get to know individuals. You know, we run the coffee morning, not so that we can make tea and coffee, but so that we can have an opportunity to talk with people, so that we can learn to rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. God cares about children. Yeah, he said in Matthew 19, verse 14, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." As a church, we want to welcome children. We want to accept them and teach them God's ways, because we know that God loves children and he cares for them. He cares about the fatherless and the orphans and the widows. Yeah? Psalm 146, verse 9 says, "He sustains the fatherless and the widow." And the Old Testament's got many, many examples of how God made provision in society for those who were powerless to help themselves. In our society, so many people don't know who their fathers are, or they've been abandoned. We might not have as many actual orphans as on this slide, you know, as in other countries or in times past, but we can have people who are emotional orphans because they don't know who their father is. We can minister into those situations. God blesses us so that we can bless other people, so that we can model to them the love that he wants to be in every family situation. He cares about those who are in slavery, those who've had to flee from their countries because of wars and persecution. He cares about justice and fair wages. Deuteronomy 24, verse 14 says, "Don't take advantage of a hired worker who is poor and needy, whether that worker is a fellow Israelite or a foreigner residing in one of your towns." Things like zero-hour contracts, minimum wages, immigration rights, justice in the workplace, all of those very modern topics are on God's heart and can be on our hearts too. He cares about the poor and the needy. He urges us to be open-handed to them. That's why we support the Salvation Army Food Bank. That's why we sponsor Bedleen and Amshika and Innocent. Why we support Frederick and Reba's ministry in India. He cares about injustice and oppression. He upholds the cause of the oppressed. He doesn't want his people to be a privileged minority who trample over other people. He wants us to stand up for those who can't stand up for themselves, to help those who can't help themselves. And there are so many ways that that can be done. And he cares about people having the opportunity to hear his word. We've got to be active in promoting freedom of speech in our country, to remain true to God's word. That won't always be popular. It might even lead to active persecution. But we need to understand that the unfolding of God's word brings light, and that his word has got the power to set people free and to transform our society. So these are just some of the things on God's heart. I believe that the church is the greatest force for change in our society. We might perhaps feel let down by the church at times, frustrated by the church, hurt by the church, even angry with the church, because the church isn't perfect. It can't be, because it's made up of ordinary people like us, imperfect people. We make mistakes. We often fail to live out the life that God wants us to live. But the church remains God's plan A. Yeah? God's master plan. It's his idea. It's his idea for transformation in our world today. And he's got no plan B. I often wish he would have. It would make our lives easier if he had. But the church, we are God's plan A. He wants us to be his body, to be people who reflect his heart, who reach out to the world around us with love and commitment and passion and endurance and unity. Let's all do something to see his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.